Lord. So I appreciate Bill. He probably was nervous and so forth. And again, I'm so thankful it wasn't recorded. I can just imagine Pastor Hagee listening to it. You know, but anyway, it's what it is. This morning, for the message, with all that's happening to us as a nation, the rebellion. If you ask me, what is sin? The heart of sin really is rebellion. Sin is rebellion. Adam and Eve rebelled against God. God gave Adam and Eve a very clear order, and they rebelled. When you have children, particularly teenagers, you recognize rebellion sometimes. It shows up. That really is the heart of sin, is rebellion. And we think of it in different ways, but that's what sin is. We rebel against a holy God. And a key aspect of that whole concept is the idea of authority. And God is the supreme authority. We rebel. Parents are authority. We rebel. Police are authority. And I have far too many tickets to show that they have the authority. Teachers and governors and politicians have authority. Judges have authority. You do away with authority, you go contrary to what God teaches. Amen? God says we should obey our governments and so forth, and we need to pray for them because it's the idea of authority. And the opposite of authority is anarchy, is rebellion. And we see it more in recent days. We see it in cities where some blocks of the city has been taken over. And destruction and so forth. Lawlessness. And unfortunately, so often, the mayors of those cities and the governors of those states have done nothing. And it's going to get far worse. So my message this morning is flames that threaten the United States. Flames that threaten the United States. The United States is the greatest country of the world. Amen? We have the greatest economy economically over the last 200 years. And culture. We have high standard of living in America. We have better housing. And the men can attest, we have more food in America. We have greater freedom. Even in this day and age, we have more freedom than many do in the world. If you go to other countries, it's amazing the housing, the living standards they have, and the lack of freedom that they have. A recent president within the last 40 years, a president of the United States, said this. He said, without God, democracy will not stand and cannot long endure. If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. That was said by a president. I won't mention his name. If you want to ask me privately, I'd be glad to tell you. But within 40 years ago, he said that. Without God, democracy will not stand and cannot long endure. If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. As I mentioned, I titled this message, Flames That Threaten the United States. I'm basing on a passage in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 18 through 21. Isaiah chapter 9. Surely Surely wickedness burns like a fire. It consumes briars and thorns. It sets the forest thickets ablaze, so that it rolls upward in a column of smoke. Verse 19. By the wrath of the Lord, notice it's all capitals, Lord, the Lord Almighty, the Supreme God, the one and only, the Lord Almighty, the land will be scorched, and the people will be fuel for the fire. No one will be spared, will spare his brother. On the right, they will devour, but still be hungry. And on the left, they will eat, but not be satisfied. Each will feed on the flesh of his own offspring. Manasseh will feed on Ephraim, and Ephraim on Manasseh. Together they will turn against Judah. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Isaiah the prophet had witnessed the corruption of the Israelite people. In America, we say there's lots of corruption. Amen? We see it all over, corruption. There's four conditions that are present when God judged the nation of Israel. And these conditions were present when the fires of judgment were ignited. Number one, the first condition, the first flame that threatens the United States is a people filled with pride. With pride. Pride is a terrible thing. I believe pride can be personal. And I believe pride can be national as well. As a nation, are we a proud nation? Have we forsaken God? Have we left him? For years, I have believed that we have not been a Christian nation in the true sense. But even in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, even though we were not a Christian nation in the true sense, we, to a large degree as a nation, follow the ethics, the teaching, the principles of Scripture. But nowadays, we live a day of politically correctness, where even the ethics are not biblical. Even the teaching as a nation, apart from God, are not biblical. Even when we did not acknowledge God as a nation, we still followed, to a large degree, the teaching and principles of morality, of biblical truths that the Bible teaches. The first condition of people filled with pride, it says, who say with pride and arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars. As a nation, so often we hear people say, but we will do this. We will do that. God was setting judgment on the Israelites' people. They made two mistakes. First of all, they ignored the cause of calamities. What was the real root cause of it? Secondly, they arrogantly boasted that they will rebuild. It is if they thought that they could do it and that they did not need God at all. Are we there as a nation? We go through natural disasters as our country, and we hear people say, but we will get through it. We will rebuild. The scriptures are about pride. It says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. In 1 Peter 5:5, the scriptures warns us that God opposes the proud. And I believe as a Christian, I need to ask myself many times, Bob, are you being proud? Or are you completely rely upon God? Even the spiritual gifts that he gives to you, do you recognize he gave them to you? And the abilities that you have, he gave them to you. Do we recognize that? Do we acknowledge that? The skills that we have, the backgrounds that we have, the things that we can do. It's all by God's grace, amen? And he graciously gave us those skills, those abilities. God opposes the proud. And I believe as a Christian, we need to search our hearts many times. Because we live in a culture that encourages pride. You deserve it, it teaches us. You can do it, our society teaches us. And we need to constantly search our hearts. And when the Holy Spirit reminds us that perhaps you are being proud, we need to be quick to bring it before the Lord. Regarding pride, Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. A man of humility before God gains honor. I read once about a little frog that wanted to go south for the winter, but was far too far to travel, to hop all the way to Florida. And two birds felt sorry for the frog, and together they came up with a plan. These two birds came up with a plan. They said, let's get a stick, and we'll have the frog crunch out on the stick, and we'll fly the frog down to Florida. The sky was clear. Everything seemed so hopeful for the frog and his two newfound friends. Two farmers were standing in the field, saw the birds carrying the frog. One said to the other, that was a brilliant idea. I wonder whoever came up with that plan. The frog said, I did. And the frog fell. He opened his mouth. Yeah, I believe there's a sense of pride individually. And I think there's also can be a sense of pride nationally. We can become a proud nation. I feel that we have accomplished everything. Do you believe America has become proud? Some call us arrogant people towards other people in the world. Listen to what Abraham Lincoln said. Abraham Lincoln said, we've grown in numbers and wealth and power as no other nation has grown. We vainly imagine in the deceitfulness of our own hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Lincoln said, intoxicated with our broken success, we have become too self-sufficient, too proud to pray to God that made us. Wow, what a statement. Amen? How true. We have become too proud to pray to God that made us. Yes. Flames that threaten the United States. Number one, pride. Number two, eternal confusion. And we see it nowadays, don't we? There seems to be so much confusion in our country. Poor leadership from our national leaders. Look at Isaiah 9:16, chapter 9. Those who guide this people mislead them, and those who are guided are led astray. And the New American Standard Version said they are brought to confusion, the people, because of poor leadership, national leadership, mayors, governors, presidents, Congress, Supreme Court, confusion, distrust all segments of authority, distrust of the clergy, of law enforcement. It disturbs me what I see happening to the police. As the police are there to defend us and protect us, how discouraged they must be. What's happening? The legal system, the media, disillusionment, depression. I believe we're going to see more and more national depression of people. Higher rates of suicides. People are so, and I'm talking about all people, but can you imagine those who do not know Jesus Christ? They're not Christians. Who do they turn to? As Christians, we need to recognize that when we go through depression, we need to turn to our God. Amen? And pour our hearts out to Him. He is still on the what? Throne. Amen? And He still loves His people. A second condition is eternal confusion. And I think we see that more and more. Communicated through television, media, and the national events. It affects people emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. And those who do not know Jesus Christ, reach out to them and share the gospel. That God is a God of hope. One thing bothers me so much about evangelism, so often the emphasis on evangelism is if you accept Jesus Christ, you will go to heaven. Well, that's true. But the most wonderful thing about my salvation is I experience it every day. Amen? He gives peace and joy and purpose and direction. And which when we witness to people, we will share not only about heaven and hell, but that He gives joy and peace and a whole new direction in one's life. To me, that is what salvation is. Oh, I'm looking forward to heaven. I tell my wife many times, maybe tonight. Maybe tonight. But people are depressed. And they are disillusioned. They're almost a point where they want to give up with the whole idea of the government. And we need to reach out to them with the gospel. And not in a preaching way, but a way that communicates to them. Eternal confusion is a flame that threatens the United States. A third one is ignoring warning signs. When conditions were ripe for forest fire, our forest officials will issue warnings concerning the danger. They will discourage people from burning trash, building campfires, and the like. When people neglect the warnings, the danger comes. Listen to Isaiah 9, verse 13, a warning. But the people have not returned to Him who struck them. When God judged them, God disciplined them, they did not still turn to God. Nor have they sought the Lord Almighty. I believe as a nation, we have got to a point that we don't even consider the warnings of God. If God is consistent in His dealings with the United States, the way He has always been consistent throughout history, He will warn us of approaching judgment. And perhaps we are being worn even today. A fourth condition is a progressive worsening of wickedness, lawlessness. Isaiah 9, verse 18 says, "Surely wickedness burns like a fire. It consumes briars and thorns. It sets the forest thickets ablaze so that it rolls upward in a column of smoke." In 1947, a very famous sociologist and historian, Dr. Carly Zimmerman, 73 years ago, he did a study, he published a book called Family and Civilization, a study of civilizations. He found that each society that disintegrates of the culture, it was preceded by certain traits. He mentions 11 of them. I want to read to you five what he said. And this was 73 years ago. He said, number one, there'd be an increase in rapid, easy, and faultless divorce. As I thought about that, I thought he said that 73 years ago. And the family back then, even though there was an increase, rapid increase of divorce, probably was pretty stable, actually, compared with today. Amen? Number two, he said there'd be fewer children and less respect for parents and parenthood. Yes. And we see that. Less respect. If that was true 73 years ago, how much worse is it today? Number three, a breakdown of most inhibitions against adultery. Number four, the rapid rise and spread of juvenile delinquency. Number five, a common acceptance of all forms of sexual perversion. It was true when he said that 73 years ago. How much true is it today? If he was alive today, he'd be shocked. Amen? And how far down we have come as a nation. Economically, perhaps still going up. In different ways, going up. State of living, still going up. But he'd be shocked how far down we have gone. Conditions that threaten the United States for judgment are people filled with pride, eternal confusion, the ignoring of warnings, a progressive worsening of wickedness. We see as Christians what's happening in the United States. Our hearts should go out to the non-Christian as well. What can we do? Of course, you know this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. I think it's interesting. The first condition that is mentioned there is that my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I, the Lord said, that I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's not hopeless. It can't be turned around. We need to humble ourselves. God's people, he says, not the non-Christian. If my people will humble themselves and pray. Secondly, and third, seek my face. And then fourth, turn from their wicked ways. We need to search our hearts. You and I, who have accepted God, we need to personally be distinctive as Christians in our culture. I think it's interesting when Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, he uses two metaphors to describe Christians, salt and what? Light. I thought about that one time, salt and light. He said, you are the salt of the earth. He said, you are the light. We live in a very dark world, amen? America is dark. Lots of activity, but dark. And what does salt and light have in common? I thought about that some years ago. I came to what they have in common is both penetrate. When you put salt on food, on meat, you season it, it penetrates. Go into a dark room, turn the light on, it penetrates. And as Christians, we are to penetrate our culture, our society. We are salt. We are to be distinctively different. Not perhaps in a judgmental way. I don't mean that. But in a way that people come to us and say, what is it that you have that I don't have? And then we can share with them. We are salt. We are light. Make an effort, investment personally. Practically, you can influence and impact individuals and families, people you work with, people you know, during these difficult times. Flames are consuming the United States. You can have an impact. Believe that. Politically, if we are to remain blessed by, we need to be right with God. Right before other people. Stand for what is right. Don't be silent. Speak up. Remember what Abraham Lincoln said. Let me read again. We've grown in numbers and wealth and power as no other nation has grown. We've vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our own hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with our broken success, we have become too self-sufficient. Amen? Too proud to pray to God that made us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from wicked ways, that I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Flames that threaten the United States, pride, confusion. We ignore the warnings that God has given us many, many times. And we progressively worsen wickedness. In other words, we become more and more lawlessness in our sin. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do live in dark times in the United States. And some can give wonderful speeches. It's not the speeches. Father, for many years, we have not been a Christian nation in the true sense, but we have followed the teaching and principles to a large extent as a nation. But now we live in a day when it's almost very openly politically correctness. If you oppose those views, you are this or you are that or you are this. Father, we cry out to you. The Holy Spirit would bring conviction on people's lives. The Holy Spirit would draw people to the Savior. The Holy Spirit would give those in authority the backbone to follow the law and the biblical principles that you lay before us. We pray In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen.